Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Scripture today is found in Matthew 11, verses 28-30. And if you would like to use the Pew Bible, it's found on page 816. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Thank you, Ed, for reading. I want to encourage you. Part of our ministry at church here, I was impressed with what I was seeing today. Once again, as we desire to do things biblically here at Grace Bible Church, part of the requirements or the qualifications for an elder is that a person is apt to teach. And Don is not going to be in a big hurry to preach here. But he's teaching all the time. He's allowing the words of the songs to be used to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. But also, we don't want to sing unaware of the theology that we're singing. And so today, he as an elder is teaching. And then Ed comes up here and reads scripture, and Ed is one of our elders too. And I want to encourage you, one of the things that Ed has a heart for, and I pray that for all of us here, but is prayer. He's one of our main prayers here at Grace. And I want to encourage you, if you've got a prayer need, I would tell you not to hesitate to write that down on a piece of paper, fold it, and say, would you pray for this? And it'll stay with Ed, and it'll be prayed for, and I know that he would appreciate that ministry. So please take advantage of what we've got in Ed. And then coming up in a few weeks, I'm going to be having the privilege and fun time of preaching up in Wisconsin to these young people, so they're not getting away from me and my preaching. They're like, oh, I want to hear somebody new. But our brother, Doc Sharp, is going to be preaching that Sunday 3 weeks into January. And so I'm looking forward to that. And it's just a biblical response to what the Word has called on us. And that's just one of the aspects of being an elder. So pray for those opportunities as they arise. Also, next week we start a month-long series. It's four messages right there in the middle via sandwich of of Doc Sharp, but in the midst of that, there's going to be a study on the spiritual gifts. And many times I really believe that what's happening or not happening in our lives is we don't have an understanding of what is the spiritual gift that I'm given. Every one of us has a gift given to us at salvation so that we can function in this body. This body, we are not called to be spectators. This is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not a spectator sport. We're called on to use the gifts that He's given us. And so maybe you've never heard that about the fact that there's spiritual gifts. And so we'll be going through those together. And I'm hoping that you'll come and learn and allow the Lord to use that as He sees fit. Well, I've enjoyed this study using the story of A Christmas Carol alongside the scriptures as kind of a way to communicate this Christmas time. And each one of the passages of scripture that have been read, Ed read a story right in the middle of Matthew. It isn't around his birth, but we can build on what the Lord teaches us in his word. And so as we think about accepting Christ's invitation, we think of this hope of Christmas future. And so we see that in his travels, you'll see this in a moment, with the ghost of Christmas yet to come, Scrooge comes face to face with his end. So take a look at this scene where Scrooge is coming to grips with that.
I don't know.
Lord, as we think about the fact that we are finite, and yet we are made to live forever, either way. And so I'm asking today that you would use our time how you see fit. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bible open to Matthew 11. And what happens a lot of times with Scripture, we just jump right in. And what we do with expository preaching is we're constantly working through the text. And so you'll see the context in the midst of a text that is going on here. And I want you to notice that there are verses, if you can look in your Bible right now, there are verses before and after the verses that Ed read for you this morning. And you go, well, of course. But sometimes that's just passed over. And some preachers will not let a context stand between them and a good application. All right. But I want you to know we want to be biblical here. And so I want you to take a look up above those verses, going up to verse 16 of Matthew 11. So I encourage you, have a Bible open before you because it helps to do what we're doing this morning. So look at this. He says, but to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. And so what he's talking about, last week we had an amazing representation of children and the joy that they bring and the fun that they bring. And then this morning with that video that we saw at the beginning, we just saw, and it makes that kind of video makes you think and go, how am I communicating? I mean, you think you're communicating certain things, and that's what those children picked up of the Christmas story. Well, Jesus, and this is the only time he talks about games in the Bible. And so these kids are playing wedding and they're playing funeral. They're playing, you're going to be the best man. You're going to be the maid of honor, your bride, groom. And they got that all set up. They're going to play that game. You know what's involved with that. And then they're going to play a funeral. We're going to be very somber and sober. And these are kids playing in the marketplace. And then he starts talking about why he brings it up. He goes, for John, verse 18, came neither eating nor drinking. And they say he has a demon. So God brings a messenger, a prophet, John the Baptist, John the baptizer, pre-Jesus, to communicate the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's coming. He's the funeral guy. He's the repent. He brings that message. And they reject that. And then verse 19 talks about the wedding, the children playing wedding. Well, I communicated to you in a wedding fashion. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him. A glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. And so what comes out of that, what grows up out of that, is what was birthed. And so I came to you and I gave you the hard stuff and you didn't accept it. And then I give you the peaceful, loving, gracious stuff and you don't accept that. And he's saying the message doesn't change. Methods can change, but the message doesn't change. And you just keep rejecting it. And then he does something else. He goes, then, so we move from that story. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. He says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, so think about how bad Sodom was, it would have remained until this day. Sodom, you can't find it now. It's just a ash heap because of the fire of God that went down on it. But he's saying, and this kind of ties into what happened with Scrooge. Remember, he's there and he's looking at that spirit of things to come. He says, are these the things that have to be or might not be? Basically, if I make some changes, will this end game change? And Jesus is saying here, because Jesus knows everything, he's omniscient, he even has the power to say, if I had showed up in Sodom and did what I did in Capernaum, those guys, those rapists, and he picks bad cities, those rapists would have turned. But this group of people in Capernaum, this group of people in those cities that he's mentioning that did not turn when he did mighty works in them, are self-exalted, self-dependent people. And God works in the hearts of those that are humble. This is a drumbeat that he keeps having. And so we come to this passage of Scripture because he moves down. And then after these hard things, he says, look at verse 25. At that time, because for me, if I had heard, man, they played wedding, played funeral, and they didn't respond. And then these guys that had more information, like the people that will come only to church on Christmas and Easter, and they hear that over and over, but they have no interest in things of God. Every time they hear that news and they reject it, they are more accountable than if they had just stayed home. Isn't that sobering? And so, but look at how Jesus responds. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. And he's being sarcastic. The people that think they have it all together, we that do life without God, and reveal them to little children, helpless, needy, dependent. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then I want you to see the graciousness of God. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's point number one. If you're taking notes in the back of your bulletin there, hear the address. Hear the address. Verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord of the universe invites anyone who is weary, or, now think about that, heavy laden, to come to him. I want you to come to me. I am not sure, if I was writing this story, if that's who I'd start with. We want happy people around us, don't we? You would not believe the times where I am here at church and none of you in this room have done this to me, so thank you. All right. But over the years as a pastor, there are times, I know it blows your mind, that I have a hard day. And there are some people, I'll walk, and I'm trying not, you know, Kim's talked to me, boy, you wear your emotions on your sleeve. All right? Most of the time, most of you can read me. And by the way, I try not to be that way. But there's times where I've walked out and I'm not smiling at this guy, saying, hey, how you doing? I'm okay. He's going, just okay? And I'm like, listen, buddy. Okay is real good right now. Right. And I think many of you know what I'm talking about. See, I'd probably say, if I'm putting together this thing called Christianity, I'd say, come to me all who are happy. I mean, I don't want a Debbie Downer. All right? Let's celebrate life together. Or come to me if you want to do what I want to do. But he says this. He says, come to me if you're tired. This is amazing about God. These are his people. And some of you are like, man, I'm God's people. I'm tired. All right? The weary ones, he says, come unto me. I want to encourage you this morning. This is who God calls. Come to me. And I love this too. He doesn't say, run to me. So often in my weariness, I can't run. reminds me of a story of a track meet where, you ever been to a track meet? Those are like, wow. And if your kid is not necessarily a track star, but for whatever reason, in middle school track, they picked it because it's a social arrangement, you know, and you go and they've got events on the front and the back, and you have to sit through every one. I'm not bitter. It didn't happen to me, but I've seen some of you parents say, hey, how you doing? I was at a track meet yesterday. Oh, it was glorious. But you'll have parents sometimes, and they're on the sidelines, and their kid ain't doing it. Let's say their kid's name is Charlie. Sorry, Charlie. I looked over there. It was subconscious. Charlie, you're an amazing athlete, so I don't know why I brought you up. And Charlie's at the end. He's just taking forever. And you lean over the fence, and you're just trying to go, Charlie, run! And Charlie wants to turn in the middle of the race and go, I'm running as fast as I can. You think I want to be back here? But that's how it is sometimes. That's how you feel in your Christian walk. I'm running as fast as I can. Some of you moms, God bless you. You know what's great at Christmas morning? I find out what I got everybody. Isn't it the truth? The amount of time, and some of you men are like, no, I'm not like that. Okay. You're amazing, all right? But for the most part, God bless you. And the amount of work that is put into just walking with the Lord. Just walking. I want to be obedient. I resolve, you know, the New Year's coming. I resolve I'm going to read my Bible. And like 10 days in, you're like, I've already, you know, I'm running as fast as I can. Isn't it good? I can't run sometimes. So he didn't say, run to me. I can only stumble to him. Or crawl. But that's okay. He said, come any way you can. Come. And he specifically wants you to come directly to him. Come unto me, all you that labor. So what causes us to be weary in our laboring? Well, you look back at the story in Exodus, the people of Israel in Egypt, 400 years previously, they left the land of promise due to famine and headed south to Egypt, where there was plenty to eat. They lived there for a while, enjoying this abundance, this prosperity. But suddenly the situation changes with a new Pharaoh that takes office, and he comes on the scene and he looks at these Jewish people and says, well, we've got to control these people. I mean, so how are we going to do it? Well, let's make them slaves. So for hundreds of years, the people of God were enslaved by the Egyptians, baking bricks for Pharaoh's monuments. It's been documented that the Israelites baked enough bricks to build a wall 10 feet high and 5 feet thick from L.A. to New York City. And so Moses comes on the scene and he says, let my people go. And here's what Pharaoh answered, Exodus 5, verses 7 through 9. You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. That Hebrew word translated labor in verse 9 has the same meaning as the Greek word translated labor Jesus used in Matthew 11. Do you sometimes feel like you're stuck in Egypt? You're making bricks for Pharaoh under this blistering sun, and Maybe you've said, I'm going to Egypt, I'm going to labor to get ahead in my career, or I'm going to work hard for this material thing, and for a while it seemed enjoyable. But Pharaoh turns against you, and the very thing you thought would be wonderful is now this taskmaster, and it's cracking the whip, and it's enslaving you. And we have this tendency to think this, and kids, I want to encourage you on this one. And the older you get, the toys just change if you're not careful. I'm going to be happy when I accomplish this task, or when I reach this goal, or when I get this business, or when I get this toy. And we labor and we labor until we finally say, this isn't working out the way I thought it would. The commercials promised something and they didn't deliver. I'm miserable and I'm tired and I'm weary. What does it mean to be heavy laden? Look at this in Isaiah 1, 4 through 6. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, they have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Pharaoh made us labor, but sin makes us heavy laden. Sin is what weighs us down. David even went through this season of sin. On more than one occasion, he wrote this, Psalm 38, verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. For my sides are filled with burning, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. Can I give you something that's really simple, but this is really helpful? And if you can learn this young, learn it. Sin will make you tired. Jesus said to him, to come to him and he would give you rest. And how does he do that? Point number two, hear the appeal. Hear the appeal. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. The Greek word translated carpenter used in Matthew 13 to describe Joseph refers to a Finnish carpenter. And those of you that know this, you construction guys, you guys that work with wood and you work in those lines, you know the difference between a finisher and a framer. And it seems that tradition seems to teach that the carpenter shop where Jesus worked with his stepfather Joseph specialized in making yokes. You could think about that for a moment, that Jesus is speaking from authority here. And to yoke two oxen together, the skilled carpenter designed the yoke to fit each ox individually. And since there was always a lead ox yoked together with one who would follow, the yoke was designed in such a way that the lead ox would pull the greater weight. The follower or assistant ox was to go with the flow. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Let me lead you, is what the Lord is saying. Jesus then makes this autobiographical statement. Listen to this. He says, learn from me. And we learn something about Jesus from Jesus. Listen to what he says about himself. And this is so not how we as men talk But what a great model. Listen to what he says. I am gentle and lowly of heart. Isn't that good? Instead of, I'm a man. You need to know I'm a man. You'll know. You've heard me say this before. People that have skills, they don't have to. You know, I don't know how many times I've been with people. They hear about our opportunity to play basketball. And, hey, you have a basketball thing? I'm good at basketball. And I'm going, oh, no, they're not good at basketball. And every time, it's rare that I'll meet somebody that says, I'm good at singing. Oh, no, they're not good at singing. It's only happened like once for me. I said, oh, they're pretty good at singing. Here's how you find out. They're good. And a man that's all that he needs to be a man, he's what he should be. But Jesus doesn't tell us that about himself. He was that. I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. That's the perfect leader. He won't take advantage of you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? He won't take advantage of you. And we will find rest for our souls. That's how I am not weary and heavy laden. I get yoked in with Jesus. As opposed to, no, I got this. I've got it figured out. I'm going to keep doing this. So I don't know how you're doing. How are you doing in your marriage? How are you doing in your parenting? Are you looking to the Lord? Are you looking to Him for wisdom? Are you yoking with Him? Or are you, I got this figured out, or I'm going to do this. Is that what the Lord wants? I don't know where this message finds you. But I want to be yoked to Jesus. Because left to myself, could you imagine what my field looks like left to myself? I'm going to. And yet, God wants to come alongside me. Wow. Lastly, hear the assurance. Hear the assurance. He doesn't end there. He goes, for my yoke, verse 30, is easy. That's just like almost an oxymoron. And my burden is light. My yoke is easy. It's not religion. It's relationship. It's not the law. It's love. If it's heavy, it's not his burden because his burden is light. And this Christmas time, I'm calling on you. I'm encouraging you. Please slow down. Maybe there's a decision you need to slow down on. And you're leaning on your own understanding instead of leaning on the one next, the one that should be next to you. Slow down a bit and look to the Lord and rest in Him. In A Christmas Carol, Scrooge wakes up from that strangest dream that he ever had. He opens the window and he discovers that it's Christmas morning and has been given a chance to change his ways. He did nothing to earn it. Rather, it's a gift. And he is so full of joy that he immediately hits the streets to make a difference in the world. And you might tell a story of receiving a gift and think about that. You may need to, with somebody, share, I got a gift one time and I didn't deserve it. Take a look at this scene at the end of A Christmas Carol.
Oh,
Opportunity to read a biography of Dickens as I was putting this talk together, these talks together, and there's an interesting book entitled God and Charles Dickens. But sometimes you don't know where these authors get their ideas, but it says this: the final paragraph of Dickens' last will and testament includes these words, "I commit my soul to the mercy of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I exhort my dear children humbly to try to guide themselves by the teaching of the New Testament." It's good to know that God had done a work in Charles Dickens' life, and he can do a work in each of our lives. Let's pray.